It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, part of All Things Considered during its afternoon drive statewide broadcast Fridays. Each week, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on a topic, organization, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are thrilled to welcome back Aloha Independent Living Hawaii. They're dedicated to giving persons with disabilities in the Aloha State the choice of where to receive independent living services. And this sort of thing can be invaluable because there are not usually a directory or clearinghouse of these kinds of services. And often, sometimes folks with a disability, perhaps it has put them into a wheelchair or they have a loss of mobility, there can be little questions that come up that are a big deal, but there isn't really someone to call. And so this is the kind of organization that even if you don't hear that they're covering the thing that you need, you could probably call them and they could help you figure it out because that's how it is with this sort of issue. The core range of services they assist with include information and referral, as I'm sort of referring to, peer counseling, advocacy, independent living skills training, and transition. We're going to learn more with their executive director of Aloha Independent Living Hawaii, who we welcome back now, Roxanne Bolden. Aloha, welcome back.
Aloha, Dave. Thank you for inviting us.
It's a great pleasure to have you guys on. It's an invaluable service, and I would definitely want to know about it if I was in need of these services myself. And before we hear about some of the exciting new things that you've got going on in the way of things that you've been up to and that you're going to continue to do, but also newer support groups than we have talked about previously, describe the overall mission for folks who could possibly use your service and how you function.
Okay, our mission is to help persons with disabilities by providing them independent living skills, services, and programs. And those are the core services that you had just mentioned, information and referral. Again, if you are a person with a disability and, you know, maybe you just became disabled. You weren't disabled before, but now you just have become disabled, whether it's through an accident or some health-related issue, and you just don't know where to go to. That's where you would give us a call, and we will try to assist you by connecting you with the appropriate service, or if it's something that we can provide, then we would definitely take you on as a consumer. The next one is independent living skills training. That has to do a lot with the students who are transitioning from high school onto employment or just to live independently. And that's everyday life skills like money management, time management, how do I catch the bus, even basic hygiene skills, how to build a resume, how do I even sit down at a table and talk to somebody and use the utensils. So it's really all based on what you need at that particular time, and we help to kind of define it for you and work with you based on your goals. Whether it's priority one is I need to know how to catch the bus. Okay, that's your first goal. The next goal is, okay, I need to know how to dress because I'm trying to catch the bus so I can go get to my interview. So, you know, it just really depends, and we work with that particular consumer based on what they want, not what we want. So that's independent living skills training. The other one is the peer counseling or peer support. Over 50% of my staff and board are people with disabilities. So in actuality, my agency is actually more like 90%. Majority of everybody I hire are people with various different disabilities, whether it's traumatic brain injury, visual impairment, hearing impairment, mental health issues, or other physical and autoimmune disease, you know, or disabilities. We have them all. So when you walk through the door, you can find somebody you can probably even relate to because they're going through the same thing that you're going through. And then the next one is advocacy. So advocacy comes into maybe you're having an issue because you have a service animal. And your landlord doesn't know the laws regarding service animals and why you need to have them live with you. So that's something that you would give us a call for, and we would come down and try to help to advocate on your behalf and explain the laws to the landlord. And then there's also systems advocacy. You met Brian Hauser. He's our advocacy director, and he works on a lot of different legislative issues that are going on out there. And he works with the government and with our legislators, as well as with our consumers, to advocate to make some of these changes within the systems. You know, one of the things that we did was, one of the things that we are doing is this visitability project with the Center on Disability Studies with Hawaii. And that's just basically making homes more accessible, but making it visitable. So when we say visitable, it's not just for the person with the disability, but it's for the family members to be able to visit them visit that person who is disabled. So it's making sure the house is accessible for them.
So the socialization that's so critical can continue.
Yes, yes. So that's where that advocacy comes into place. It's working directly with the consumer or working overall to change the systems that, you know, currently in place. And the last one we have is that transition. Again, this is kids transitioning from high school onto employment or higher education, but also those that were put into nursing homes or group facilities that are now capable of living independently within their own community setting. That's where we're going to help to transition them from that nursing home or that group home into like their own apartment, you know, and it's setting them up with the appropriate services so that way they can receive the help that they need and still live independently without being confined in an institutional type of setting.
Are there any costs to receive the services or assistance?
No, that's the great thing. Our services are 100% free. The only qualifying factor you have to have is that you have to be a person with a disability.
It's incredible. So if somebody has a family member and they're trying to help coordinate services or a loved one, they can help being part of that too.
Absolutely. We like to incorporate the family because that's part of their support system. So when we sit down and do an assessment, those are some of the questions we're going to ask. Is it just you or are there family members or their friends? Maybe there's friends within church.
Right.
You know, there's other people that they have in their life that I don't think they necessarily think of as a support, but we try to bring that to their attention that actually they're a support.
Well, that's a really important part of it too, yeah. Because, and I try to always focus on that, on this, because there are a lot of, if you're not from here, the way family is here is admirable. Mm-hmm. And I mean, actually, it can be this way all over the place, quite frankly. I mean, right. I think of an ex-girlfriend in Maine and how her family was not much different than here. Big family, mm-hmm. 8 turkeys on Thanksgiving kind of thing. But yeah. Taking a step back, there's a lot of folks that don't have a family. And,
yes.
And so when you say that, it's really invaluable when you point that out. Sometimes even when... if you're stuck in a situation and you're disabled, what you just said you may not have thought of, which is that there are people around me who are my support system. I may not have, you know, and that's not a great situation to be in. And yeah. I can understand it if you don't have lots of family. And I don't, so I can understand it. But there are other people, as you pointed out, and there are lots of people decent people.
Yes.
It's hard to believe it.
Yeah.
When you see the news or you see what's happening, but there are a lot of decent people and sometimes they can be right in your life. And if you don't ask, you're definitely, the answer is definitely no.
Yes.
And so I just think that what you said is really important because mm-hmm. it may not be someone who's your blood relative or your family, technical, legal family that can perform an incredible invaluable function. It could be just moving a heavy object from one place to another in your apartment. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a family, and it could still be really important.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a great thing. So anybody who has a concern for an individual can work with you guys to help make things as good as possible. And also what your information and referrals, a lot of it is you have a question, you also link up with a lot of other agencies, correct?
Yes.
So an important thing to remember is when you have a question or concern about some issue of mobility or being able to get further into your life transition, you link from Aloha Independent Living Hawaii, you can connect to a number of other nonprofits that cater to certain things.
Yes, and statewide too. So not just here in Oahu, but on all the different islands. One of the things that our staff is really good at is connecting with their community. You know, the community here on Oahu is very diverse and it's very different than what's going on in Molokai, right. on Kauai, on Maui, on yep. Lanai, on the Big Island. So one of the things our staff is really good at doing is going out into the community, partnering with their local organizations and state entities and becoming a real good collaboration, you know. So when they have questions with somebody who's disabled, the first agency they think of is us. They'll right. give us a call and say, we don't have that answer, but go see this agency. They'll help you.
And that's a great thing to know because of that interconnectedness that does help to answer a lot of, that's why I said there are a lot of questions that come up. You're like, I don't know who to call. Well, this is a great agency to call.
Yes.
If you have those kind of questions, you're not sure who to call Roxanne because mm-hmm. she has the connections to other people. And the funding for you guys, where does it come from?
So we have two main sources of funding. One is through the state of Hawaii, and it's for independent living skills training. So, and the other one is the federal government, and again, it's for independent living skills. So our primary funding, because we are an independent living, center, mm-hmm. has to come from those two sources of funding. Now, we definitely look at different grants and we try to explore different services and opportunities so we can expand our resources. Appreciate donations. You know, we definitely appreciate the foundations who have donated to our organizations, and whatever small local grants that we're able to write to, we'll do that as well.
Right. And anyone who's listening who is compelled to make a donation, you'll gladly accept.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This nonprofit has several new support groups on the radar since we last had them on. Mm-hmm. And I know there are some of them: blind and visually impaired peer groups, deaf and hard of hearing peer groups, ASL group for parents and family members of individuals who are deaf to practice ASL, provide support for each other. Talk about the support groups.
Okay, so what we're realizing is we have our support groups where individuals meet in person, and we've been having those for many years. But what we're recognizing from a lot of our younger consumers is they're so into the social media. So we tested it last year with our deaf and hard of hearing group. On Facebook, the very first one, with all compared to any center in the United States. So that was one of the first things that we were recognized for, is because people were looking at us as a model, saying, how does that work? It's a closed group. It's only for our consumers or for the members within the community. And we have to know who they are before we can approve them. And it's everyone's on Facebook. They want to know, how can we connect with other deaf people, not just on our island, but on other different islands. And it allows us to be able to post different events that are related either to the disability specific, or just, you know, for them to know, like, hey, we're getting together and we're meeting over here. Do you want to come? Come over here and meet other folks that are just like you, or family members that are just like you. So we're finding that going through the social media aspect and forming a peer support group via Facebook seems to be something that people want. So now we have the two, and it's just our members is just up exponentially from when we first started.
That's how a lot of stuff is with the Big Brothers Big Sisters, has this whole new online way that they Holomua, I forget what it's called, but so it makes sense that that is a and there was one previous one that you had that I was curious, sewing group, senior roundtable.
That's our
West
traumatic
Way.
Brain injury group. Yeah, we still have that. Okay. We have two of them that are here. One focuses on crafts and the other one focuses more on the technical part of sewing. But by them doing those particular skills, those fine skills, it's actually very therapeutic, and it helps with their because they have traumatic brain injury. So it's one of those technical things that they have to do that helps with their brain function, you know, that repetition and that consistency that they're doing.
The what kind of stuff do they sew?
They made like those little, the one that they gave me was a teacup pin cushion. So I thought that was really neat. So what they did is they would get those discarded or used teacups that people don't want anymore, and they made a pin cushion and they put it in it, and so they repurposed that. Sometimes they will make like a bottle carrier. You know how everybody has those little flasks? So they'll make a little pouch for it where you can put it in and be able to carry that. They've made different keychain little things that you see a lot of the younger girls having, these little ornaments on their purses, and some older ladies, and they'll do that. They've made a lot of like aprons and stuff, and these women are much older. At one point in time, there were nurses or teachers or whatever professional occupation they had. And because they either suffered through stroke or a car accident or whatever it was, they now have TBI. So they can no longer go back to those professions. But by gathering together and doing these type of activities, it really helps to sharpen their skill and their memory. So
I guess the reason I mention it to you is... So recently, so I have another Helping Hand guest that's going to be on soon, and they are a Facebook group. It's called Blankets for Baby Rhinos.
Oh, wow.
There are 1,500 people around the world.
So you're looking at maybe our group that's a great idea.
I'm just thinking like...
I'm happy you're even telling me that. I actually meet with our traumatic brain injury group next week on the 13th at Rehab. I'll bring that up because they had gotten in contact through Facebook of a young girl who was going through TBI in the mainland. So she was into something like that, not necessarily the blanket, but it was some other thing. And the whole group made these type of, and they sent it to her. So how wonderful it will be for them to be able to do it for them locally here.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, because this is an international Facebook, Facebook. Yeah. So it's around the world. There are about 1,500 members.
Okay.
They do this because there's a poaching crisis. Rhinos are being killed for their horns, and it's a big problem in the Asia Pacific. And so the babies are left without their mothers. Mm-hmm. So these animals need extraordinary care, like an infant. yes. 24 hours a day. And one thing that they don't have is someone to snuggle them. And so, the blankets come in. And so it lets people work together to help a really vulnerable thing. And it kind of gives, so for folks like you just, because you were saying nurses and people who had already been involved with helping others. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, well, maybe if you could turn your group on, and I will turn you on to this information because it could be a great way for them to feel like some huge, talk about purpose.
Oh my gosh.
And doing something righteous. And I mean, and especially here in Hawaii, I always think of like Father Damien. And I'm like, well, what would Father Damien say about making blankets for little baby vulnerable rhinoceroses? He'd be two thumbs up. And so I will turn you on to that. There's also another organization that I'm going to have on called the Elephant Nature Park. Mm-hmm. And they look after abused, neglected, disabled, elderly elephants in Chiang Mai, Thailand, north of that. And so they are looking for giant blankets for their elephants, too. Okay. Okay. So it's just a wonder because I'm thinking like, well, these... Because I see people with sewing. Yeah. I'm thinking, wow, I could hook these people together.
I think that our group would definitely appreciate and want to take part in that. Definitely.
I love it. Well, this is a good day then. Mm-hmm. You just made my day with this.
Oh, yeah.
If I thought...
I think you made my day too, so it was reciprocal.
Imagine a blanket comes from Hawaii onto a little baby animal that lost its mom. I mean, does he get a better feeling? I mean, can you feel like you're doing something good, you know?
Absolutely.
That, you did right then.
Right.
When you're doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel better just talking about this. So you have community events that you have done and are going to continue to do.
Correct.
Molokai Disability Fair, emergency awareness and service animal info presentation, partnered with our fellow Helping Hand guests, Hawaii Fido service dogs, Teddy Bear Drive.
Yes.
Put the spotlight on these events.
Okay. So Molokai, because it's such an isolated island and it's not like Oahu where you have numerous events throughout the year. So we put on annually together with our partner Molokai Occupational Center and with the Maui Office on Aging, a disability fair. And it brings together all the different organizations that helps people with disabilities so the community can come out and figure out and meet them, you know, personally. And if they have questions, they can ask and have those questions answered. And also we were trying to tie in an employment part of that. Mm. We wanted to educate employers on Molokai to come out and see the advantage of why it's really good to hire somebody who has a disability. So we're bridging those two. This year we just focused more on disability, but next year we're going to bring in the disability and the employment aspect of that.
When is that approximately?
It always happens in September.
Okay, so it'll be September 2018. And then the Emergency Awareness and Service Animal Info presentation.
Correct. So this year, we went through every single one of our islands. And what we did is, because we're not working against, we want to work in line with what the civil defense is already doing. And I know they do that generally with the community. Mm. But what we wanted to do is be a little bit more intimate with our consumers. Because when you're working with people with disabilities, there are things that they don't even think about. You know, when you go through a general meeting, they give you general information. But for our consumers, we know our consumers personally. We want to alert to them specific things that they should carry with them in case there's
a disaster.
And so that's why we went to every single island, met with our consumers, and went through an extensive presentation of when there's a disaster. And, you know, I don't know if people are aware of this. I just learned this. But there's two different evacuation centers when you have a hurricane vice a tsunami. It's different. I didn't know that. I thought you would still go to the same location, but that's not necessarily true.
Where you would go for shelter yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And so by doing these presentations, our staff, Karen, put together this real extensive and complete information binder for every single island. And when we talk to our consumers, just to, you know, talk with them, one of the questions we always ask is, are you prepared for an emergency? And if they say no, we sit down, we look at what their medical needs are, if they have a service animal or they don't, and we say, this is what ideally you should be having. Mm. You know, because when it's time to go, you're isolated, and then especially if you're on those neighbor islands, and you can't really depend on somebody else to think that they're going to come get you.
You got to get all your special
stuff
in advance.
And then what we did is, because we were out there already and we got their attention, Susan is one of our founders for Aloha Independent Living Hawaii and a real good friend of mine with Hawaii Fido. So we wanted to also educate them about the service animals as well. So what we did is we brought her along while we went to all the different islands talking to our consumers about these two items.
Susan Lure, she's talking about from Hawaii Fido service dog. Very talented young lady there. Teddy Bear Drive.
So this is our second year doing this. And what we did, we launched this first on the Big Island. It's a way of us connecting with our local police departments and educating them about disability issues. And what we did is we collected gently used teddy bears or stuffed animals. And our goal was to give it to the police officers so when they're making those difficult arrests and maybe there's a child involved, they can give the child the stuffed animal. And it kind of, eases the situation a little bit. But by doing that, it starts to open the door to converse with our local police department to say, hey, when you're arresting somebody with a disability, these are probably some of the things that you should be aware of.
Good for you.
So it's getting to know our neighbors, getting to know our local police department, and just figuring out a way so we can work together.
That's important stuff.
Yeah.
And you're covering, that's what I meant, you cover a lot of little things that maybe people wouldn't have thought of.
See, that's not even an IL thing.
Right.
It has really nothing to do with independent living, but it was one of our ways of saying, you know how many people get arrested, and the police officers, not through any fault of their own, but sometimes they're just not aware of, how do I deal with somebody who's deaf or who's blind or who has traumatic brain injury? That's the way for us to open that door to say, hey, give me a call.
That stuff is in the news all the time.
Yes.
I mean, there's just a case, fatal stuff with cops and people. So those are, that's an important, that's why if you have a question about anything with disability and you haven't even heard us talk about it, Roxanne's an excellent person to ask. And as you can hear, she's connected to a lot of the other nonprofits that handle these sorts of issues.
Right.
So the best ways to help you guys, is what can people who are listening do besides offer you, a donation? Are there specific supplies at the office or volunteers that we could help you with?
Okay, so we're going to be launching this teddy bear drive in all the other neighbor islands. So right now we've concentrated for the past 2 years in Hilo just to see how successful this was going to be. But beginning this year, we're going to do that on Maui, on Kauai, on Molokai. So if you're in any one of those islands and you're listening, and go to our website too, because we're constantly blogging about our different community events and you'll see when the dates are and what's happening. But we would really help it. It would really be very helpful for us if you donated those gently used stuffed animals or whatever it is that we're talking about. It could be talent. Sometimes there's support groups and they're talking about learning the hula or learning how to weave, one of the, the lays or whatever, right? So we're looking for, people who can donate their time to come and help out.
And speak to a group.
And speak to the group, yeah. So, we're looking for that. If you're an educator and you're retired and you have wonderful things to be able to share, give us a call. We'd like to invite you to our support group and, share your talent with them. You just never know.
So those are great ways to volunteer, just sharing your experiences with folks, maybe teaching a skill to people.
Yes.
And then any other volunteer roles that you guys need?
Those are pretty much the primary ones. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just those particular events when we're having them or the peer support groups.
And the timeline for the teddy bears, is it ongoing or is there a deadline or?
It happens in the beginning of the year. And then when we did this.
So now.
So right now. When we delivered it was during Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we have throughout the year, but it's a great time to get started. And any stuffed animals that are gently used, it's a great way to have them go on and be a tool in building a better relationship with law enforcement personnel.
Yes, yeah. Because right now, Christmas just happened. So you know that your kids have new toys and they're probably not playing with the older ones. So instead of donating it, just, putting in a bag and just dropping it off on one of those donation sites, which is good too. If you can save some of the gently used stuffed animals, it'd be nice if you're able to send it to our agency so we can spread it to the kids in all the different neighbor islands when they're working with the police department.
It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more at alohailhawaii.org. You can reach them via a contact form at the website.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them a buzz, 800-385-2454.
Mm-hmm.
All of the info is online at our website where you can get the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. Anything that you want to mention that we have not in this summary of your activities?
I think I just want to thank everyone for all those that have been helping us and supporting us through the years. We're one of those small grassroots organizations that most people are not aware of. We don't have the big name. We're not Big Brothers, Big Sisters or the Cancer Society. We're not that. And so unless you are a person with a disability, you probably have never even heard who we are.
Exactly.
But we're there, and I can tell you that more and more people are becoming disabled, and they're going to need our service. So I think you should... we just want to thank you. We just want to thank all those who are supportive of us. And I would encourage you to just look at our website because you just never know. Maybe it's not for you at this particular moment, but you know, at any moment you can become disabled and you may be needing some resource and, you know, will come in handy.
And a lot of those resources, like I said earlier, are not just listed out there. They really are a hunt at times. So mm-hmm. an organization like this can be an invaluable one for a person facing certain kinds of struggles, any struggle. Yeah. That has come into your life as a result of a disability, even if you have not heard us even gone close to touching on that topic, mm-hmm. I encourage you, give Roxanne a try, because she knows a lot of people, and if it's a question she doesn't have the answer to, there are a lot of other resources, and this is one of those rare organizations that's all about plugging you into the other ones and being hit up with tough questions relating mm-hmm. to disability.
Yes.
And that is very hard to find. It's the executive director of Aloha Independent Living Hawaii, Roxanne Bolden. Extremely proud to support an organization like this and rooting you on with a whole bunch of success this year. Thanks for doing what you're doing on behalf of all those folks who have a mobility issue in particular. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that you try to open the doors you do.
Thank you so much.